Okay, time for another episode of the podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be going over a question that was sent to me to address on a podcast. Now, if you have any questions that you feel like you would need a different perspective on, you can absolutely send me these questions. I'll look at them, and if I feel they have the potential to give some good information to some listeners out there, I will definitely make it part of the podcast. I've already done this with practically every episode that I've put out so far. So I'm going to read the question and then I'm going to answer it. This is kind of an off-the-cuff episode. I haven't prepared this ahead of time. I'm just going to answer it as though I was talking to the person that submitted the question. So thank you for the question. The question is, in general, specifically asking in relation to temperament testing puppies. A client of mine was picking between a puppy with very high toy drive and one who showed little interest. And I was thinking how it might be harder to have a dog with high prey drive slash toy drive that you don't want them to have versus having a dog with low prey drive that you like to encourage to be more drivey. Does that make sense? So something along the line. So what I'm getting out of this is a client, a client of the person submitting the question is basically saying, it's basically in this predicament. They're looking at two puppies, I assume it's from the same litter. I don't know a whole lot of information about the litter or the puppies. I don't know if they're working dogs, the rescue dogs. I'm not sure. I didn't get the details, but I can make this broad enough and general enough that I think we can get some good information out there. So the predicament is the client is looking at two puppies. Now, this is a client, so let's make that distinction. A client of a dog trainer is very likely not a dog trainer. Sometimes it does happen. I do have clients, so quote unquote clients. I do have clients that I work with specifically for sport work that are dog trainers. So in some instances that does happen, and then I know people too who have clients who are dog trainers. But in general, clients typically are not dog trainers. And I'm going to guess, I'm going to make the assumption, and also just to keep it simple, let's just assume that this client is not a dog trainer. Okay? So the client is not a dog trainer, and the client is in this predicament. They're looking at two puppies, probably from the same litter. Again, to simplify, let's just assume that that's the case. Two puppies, probably from the same litter. One has more toy drive. The other one doesn't have as much toy drive. It seems like the client is maybe leaning towards the toy drive puppy and not so much towards the no prey drive puppy. And the trainer is looking at it as, I feel like maybe it would be a good idea to, for the client to get the puppy with less drive. So, how much more difficult basically it is to manage when you have a puppy that has prey drive and now you have to contain it, right? And a puppy who doesn't have a whole lot of prey drive slash toy drive, that if you do want the drive, you can kind of foster it and encourage it and build it. So if it is a client that, again, just to for simplicity's sake, let's just say this is my client, okay? And again, Rachel, thank you for submitting the question. It's awesome. Thank you for this episode. So if I have a client that tells me, hey, I'm looking at a dog Getting a dog. I have these two choices. I have one that already has some prey drive, some toy drive, and one that doesn't have toy drive. Which one do you think I should get? Well, I would assess the client, assess their lifestyle, and give them a pretty good picture as to what a toy-driven dog, prey-driven dog brings to the table and brings to their lifestyle. So if I notice that their lifestyle probably won't match the prey-driven, toy-driven puppy, then maybe I will lean in, I will try to encourage them to get the puppy with less toy drive. Okay? And the reason for that is if I have a client that gets a very toy-driven dog, and the client doesn't have the maybe the time or the patience to deal with that, this can be a hassle. Because when you have a puppy that already is already showing you a puppy, okay, and the word puppy is also kind of broad, because everybody calls puppies, it's such a broad term. I know people that call their 9-month-old dogs or 10-month-old dogs puppies, and they're 10 months of age. These are not puppies anymore. They're not in that category of puppies. So puppies, you're thinking more like between 7 weeks to about 12 weeks of age. That is what I think of when I think of a puppy. So if a puppy at that age and that window is showing a lot of prey drive, this is telling you that this is a very strong genetic or temperament trait in that dog. Okay? So if they're showing that at a very young age, that's only going to get stronger. That's only going to get more difficult to manage. Now, don't get me wrong, I like a prey-driven puppy. I like to see them at 5, 6 weeks of age just snapping and just chasing things. Because I want that type of dog, especially if I'm going to make it a demo dog or if it's going to be a competition dog. I want that, but I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm getting into. But this might not be the type of dog I want for a client, depending on the lifestyle that they have. So if I'm looking at this type of dog at a young age who's already showing that, I'm going to let that client know, hey, listen, you're seeing this already at this age. This is not gonna get slower, and this puppy is gonna get bigger. So I'm not gonna tell you just flat out don't get it. I'm really just going to prepare you for what that potentially is gonna look like, 10 months from now. Okay, without training, and even with training, the prey drive is not gonna go away. Even with training, you're going to have to learn to channel that. You're going to have to learn to work with the drive, not against it. Okay? So, but what I mean by not against it is people who don't know, even dog trainers who don't know how to handle toy-driven dogs or prey-driven dogs, they just try to beat the prey drive out of the dog, and they're constantly battling against the prey drive, and the prey drive always will, it always wins, or it just gets temporarily repressed, but it rears its head from time to time. So I don't want to do that. I want to work with the drive, with the prey drive. So basically, I'm going to let that dog know, hey, let's use your prey drive. Let's have you chase things when this and this happens. Okay, so rather than telling that dog, don't chase anything, don't look at anything, don't bite anything. I mean, if the dog is born with those strong tendencies, it's just who he or what it is. It's just the type of animal that it is. So I'm not gonna tell it, don't be that. I'm gonna tell it, be that, but let's do it in a manner that makes sense, it's fair, and in a manner that it satisfies your need to be prey driven, but also in a way that it doesn't make you a hassle to you, to your owner, or to the people around. Okay, so that's the difference between working with the drive and working against the drive. So I would make that very clear to that person. Okay? So if I foresee that maybe this is not, if this is not a if this is maybe not the dog that I foresee would do well with this type of person, then what I would do is I would maybe encourage the person that, maybe you should get the dog that is not showing a lot of prey drive right now. Okay, just because the puppy is not showing it doesn't mean they don't have it. I've seen plenty of puppies that are very young age. They either, by that I mean 7, 8 weeks of age, even 10 weeks of age, they're not really chasing a whole lot. But as they get older, as they mature, then the prey drive starts to come out. So sometimes it definitely is there, it's just not apparent. So I would try to let this person know, just because you don't see that fun playfulness that looks really adorable in a puppy and looks cool, looks really nice. And maybe you're looking at this puppy and you're thinking, man, this puppy looks kind of boring, I don't foresee myself playing fetch with this puppy, nothing. If I see that this person, if I'm able to assess that the prey-driven dog is not the right type of dog for this person, I will definitely try to encourage them to get the other one, because I will let them know, the just because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not there. Okay? And it's easier to create the spark from a pet person's perspective. It's easier to create the spark than it is to contain the fire. Okay? So for a pet person, I would want to give them the dog that they have to create the spark. Okay? So not a whole lot of crazy drive, but then they work at it and they develop it, and the dog on its own will develop it as it matures, and now you have a dog that is playing ball, chasing ball. I've seen plenty of dogs. I've even seen adult dogs that would not chase a ball, nothing. Through patience and training from the owner or the trainer, the dog eventually learns that it's fun to chase a ball. So then it's much more enjoyable than giving them this puppy with a lot of fire and now telling them, hey, good luck. Now you just have to make sure that you contain it. It's kind of hard to do that from a pet owner's perspective, from a pet person's perspective. Now, if you're a competitor, if you're a trainer and you're very experienced with driven dogs, you kind of want the opposite. You want the fire, because then it's easier to contain the fire because of your experience than it is to create that spark. But your level of experience as a trainer varies from trainer to trainer, but it's a huge, huge difference between the trainer and just the pet owner who is coming to a trainer in the first place for advice. So this definitely tells you this person should probably be very careful and should really consider maybe not getting that crazy, crazy prey-driven dog. Okay, so I kind of scrolled up a little bit and I'm looking at the question here. Hey, Will, I was thinking about if it's harder to teach prey drive in a dog that doesn't have any, or if it's harder to try to limit it if the dog has drive, who's extremely prey driven. It is definitely going to be easier to, from a pet person's perspective, and especially working with a dog trainer, it's going to be, and depending on the type of dog you have, it's going to be easier to try to spark that fire, and really long term more enjoyable. Okay, usually the type of problems an average pet owner has is not, the reason that they come to a dog trainer is not to say, hey, dog trainer, can you help me? My dog has no drive. I want him to start chasing things. It's usually the other way around. The reason the pet owner will come to you will be because, man, trainer, please help me. My dog is chasing everything. So I would say, depending on the dog, depending on your situation and the skill level of this person, I would say it'll be easier to create that drive. especially if we're looking at two puppies. This is kind of hypothetical. I'm kind of, filling in the blanks based on this question. That, these two puppies are probably from the same litter. So if one of them has a lot of prey drive and the other one doesn't, something tells me that this litter probably has that genetic envelope of, has it in its genetic envelope that the prey drive is probably there. Unless the prey-driven puppy is the anomaly. Okay, so if this litter is a litter of working dogs, and this one puppy, and it's between these two puppies now, and this one puppy has a lot of prey drive and the other one doesn't, something tells me that the one that doesn't, it's just not showing it now. It probably will show it as it gets a little bit older, as it matures. So I would definitely suggest, encourage your client, if possible, to maybe go for the less prey-driven puppy. Okay, so let's see. So far, I've concluded that working with a strong drive genetics might be the best result, teaching incompatible behaviors instead, but not really, killing that drive. And absolutely correct. So if you're working with a dog that has crazy, crazy drive, and now you're having some issues, the client's having some issues, then rather than just going, no, don't do that, we're gonna go, hey, do this instead, incompatible behaviors. That's differential reinforcement of incompatible behaviors. Do this instead, and then you can get to chase something. Okay, so that's what I was talking about a few moments ago, of the difference between, working against the drive and working with the drive. So incompatible behaviors, Rachel, will definitely be the way to go. But if I got your question right, and I hope I did, and I'm hoping that I'm giving you some good content here, and that it is applicable to other people as well. If you have the choice for a pet owner or a person with not as much experience between getting that puppy with high prey drive and getting that puppy that maybe doesn't have a whole lot of prey drive, get the one that doesn't have a lot. That's going to be easier to deal with, easier to manage. And remember, if a puppy at a puppy age, and I mean from like 7 weeks to about 12, 14 weeks of age roughly, if at that age they're showing a lot of prey drive, that's a sign that this is going to be a very prey-driven dog, potentially a difficult dog. So keep that in mind too. All right, so if you like the podcast, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And do not get offended by my memes and my posts. One of my recent posts just started a wildfire in the comment section. And every once in a while, it happens. It's just humor. It's just the little demons in my head. That's all it is. So don't get offended. But if you get offended, I really don't care. It's perfectly fine. It's the internet. You can unlike, you can keep scrolling, you can go somewhere else for a safe space. I'm perfectly okay with it. But if you do like the content, just stick around for the content. All right, I'll see you guys in the next episode.